gonna sing a little louder than before. Deeper than before, I've got to love you more and more. Somebody shout louder, yeah. Everybody say
freedom,
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 freedom.
No more shackles, no more chains, no more fire.
I am free. Yeah.
Thank you for your freedom. Yeah.
No more shackles, no more chains,
no more,
no more fire.
No more.
I am free.
I am free today.
Yeah.
Now if you believe it, say hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Is it enough to lift our hands? want it all, my spirit, mind, and heart. I give you worship, yeah. Hands and pray. Is it enough to offer just a part of me? You want it all, my spirit, mind, and heart. So I
give you worship, my great and awesome King.
Lord, I give you worship.
Soul now to stand. You stood before my failure and carried the cross for my shame. My sin weighed upon your shoulder. My soul now stands. So what could I say? And what could I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. So I walk
upon salvation.
Your spirit alive in me.
Your spirit alive in me.
It's life
to declare your promise. My soul now. What could I say? And what could I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. I'll stand with arms.
heart, oh God, completely to you. But what can I say? There's nothing we can say. And what can I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. God, we offer our praise to you, God. We welcome you, God. There's nothing we can do. We receive your love today, God. You're worthy, God, you are. You are. God, you're worthy, God. God, you're worthy, God. Bless your name, God. We bless your name, God. Thank you for the love-pierced hands. You cleanse me in your blood. Now all I know, can you praise?
Worthy is the Lamb. You now with
Thou art worthy. You are. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. Come on, lift your voice and say,
Thou art worthy.
You are worthy, God.
Thou art worthy.
Thou art worthy, God.
Thou art worthy.
You are worthy.
Thou art.
You are worthy.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you so much. We can't thank you enough once again for this opportunity to worship with our brothers and sisters, Father, corporately. Thank you so much for the liberties that you have granted us in this country, Father, to be able to just worship you, Father, without any hindrance, without any threat upon our lives, Father. We thank you so much for that. We thank you for the great grace that rests upon each of our lives, Father, the grace that has brought us thus far, the grace that has brought us to this point today, Father. And we thank you so much for that. During this Memorial Day weekend, Father, we keep ourselves constantly in remembrance of you and your finished work and what you have done on our behalf. And we thank you so much that your great grace has enabled us to be able to receive all of the blessings that you have made effortlessly available to us. And we thank you so much for that, Father. We thank you so much for that great grace and exchange of grace, favor upon favor, spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and gift heaped upon gift. And we just thank you constantly for the unlimited resources that you have given us. We thank you so much that we receive all of what for this day that you have made available for us, for this day that you have given us our daily bread, Father. We thank you so much that all of what your finished work has entailed for us individually and corporately as a body for today, we receive it. And we thank you for it. We lift up our visionaries, the pastors of this dear house, Dr. Dollar and Pastor Taffy, Father. And we thank you so much for the great grace that rests upon them. We thank you so much that in traveling mercies that your great grace continues to rest upon them as they take this gospel of grace around the world to those who are desperately in need of it. And we thank you so much that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against them in judgment, they have the authority and the power to condemn. And we thank you for it. We thank you for the membership of this church and everybody who is gathered under the name of World Changers. And we thank you for your great grace that rests upon us. And we receive it every moment. And we thank you for it now, and all who are in agreement in Christ Jesus' name said, amen. Amen. Let's rejoice with God for his grace. Amen. Amen. Well, very briefly, I just want to take the time to encourage you. During this Memorial Day weekend, there's things that we have to keep in remembrance where the things of God are concerned. Amen? And Dr. Dollar, to keep in the vein of what he's been teaching on these past week, is in regards to the Holy Spirit. And how many of you know he is our unseen partner? And there's a passage of scripture. Jesus was talking about leaving his disciples, and that's where he introduced the significance of the Holy Spirit and how important he's going to be in our lives. And St. John chapter 16, verse 7 says this. Jesus says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient or advantageous or for your good that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, everybody say Comforter. The Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. One of the things that I've been thinking about regarding that scripture is, how many of you know that a lot of times we may feel as though that it's all up to us, and that as we're living this life and the responsibilities that are given to us and the things that each of us just have to do, we feel as though it's all on us to be able to perform, to be able to fulfill the obligations and the duties that all of us just inevitably have. Amen? But I want to let you know that one of the blessings and one of the benefits of the Christian life and this grace life is that we're not living this life by ourselves, and that we actually have someone who is the great I am, who enables us to be able to do all of the things and fulfill all of the requirements that is upon our life. Amen? And so some of the things that I want to talk about is that, notice he says, Jesus said he's the Holy Spirit is the Comforter. That word Comforter is really talking about two things, that he has, first of all, gone ahead and has charted out the course, kind of like a missionary or somebody who goes before someone. And then also not thinking that that's even greater, he says that he also comes alongside of. So not only does he go ahead of us on our journey of life, you know, all of us have a journey that he has charted for us, and the Holy Spirit has gone forth on that journey. He knows all of the ins and outs, the things that we may encounter, and how many of you know that he has made ample provision for grace for every moment, every second, every minute detail of our life. Amen? So not only has he gone aside and gone ahead of us, but he also comes alongside of us as our constant companion on that life that he has already made for us. Amen? So I just want to let you know that you are not alone. Say that with me. I'm not alone. Jesus is with me by the Holy Spirit. Amen? So you are not alone. And I just want to encourage you with that tonight, that when you go forth on your journey of life, just know that there is somebody with you, guiding you every step of the way. Amen? Amen. So I want to invite our prayer counselors that they would come forward. And if there's some things that you believe that you need help, that you need comfort in, know that the Holy Spirit is there in whatever that situation may be, whatever that concern may be. You may consider it to be small, but God knows whatever is small or the slightest concern to you, it's the greatest concern to him. So you can come forward and agree with these counselors at this time.
Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it'll always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus. Everybody sing now, Jesus at the center of
it all.
See Jesus at the center.
Jesus at the center of it all.
From beginning to
from
the
beginning
end,
to the end,
it
will always be. It's always been you, Jesus.
See nothing.
Center
of it all. At the center of it all. Everybody say,
Jesus at the center of my life.
Jesus at the center.
Jesus at the center of my life.
From beginning to
It will always be. It's always been you, Jesus. Nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do.
There's nothing in this world that will do. Jesus, you're the center.
Jesus
be the center, it's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center, it's all about you. Yes, it's all about you.
Center of your church.
Jesus be the center of this church. And every knee will bow, and every tongue shall confess you, Jesus. Jesus, everybody sing Jesus.
Center of your life.
Heart
to the heavens.
Father, it is indeed all about you, Father. We thank you so much that because it's all about you, all of what you have and made available to us, you pour out so freely and graciously into our lives. We abide in you, and your word continues to abide in us, and we ask what we will, and it's done for us. And we're in full agreement with those that came forward this evening for the agreement and the fulfillment of their prayer. And we thank you for it now, and all in agreement said, amen.
Outside of the box that they put us in, keep shining, shimmering, listening. Illuminate light for the lost, and let them know love laid his life on the cross, yeah. I'm saddling up to keep traveling, talk sense to the ones been strapped.
I made a connection through to Crefo Dollar Ministries when I was 16 years old, when I watched Dr. Dollar on the broadcast. And I actually said to my granny that I will work for him one day. And I started with the ministry at the age of 21, and then worked in accounting. Thereafter became the director for the South Africa office, and a few years later the director for international affairs for Crefo Dollar Ministries. The offices are meeting the day-to-day needs of the nations through Crefo Dollar Global Missions by going to the areas where there's poverty and physically giving them food and items that they do need for the day-to-day living. We also provide them with infrastructure by upgrading their current infrastructure. We're also building houses. Well, a story of a specific child that gripped me was when I visited the Liberia orphanage. And when we went to the orphanage, I had a little girl follow me everywhere I went. And I just wanted to take her home with me. But it was so amazing because she just desired someone to love her. And she followed me everywhere to such a degree where I just ended up picking her up and carrying her with me because she made such an impact. She just desired to be loved. Well, firstly, I want to say thank you to our partners for making it possible. Making it possible for us to have all these options, missions, outreaches, and meeting the needs of people around the globe. And I really want to appeal to those who look at Crefo Dollar Global Missions and say, send us. We will go. We will go where you may be not able to go, but we can. Send us. And together, we can change the world. People like you change the world.
Loving, there ain't no stopping, no. Shining bright like a diamond, time to go. Shimmering, shimmering, shining, shimmering, shimmering. Running, running, we'll let the world know. Loving, there ain't no stopping, no. Shining bright like a diamond, time to go. Shimmering, shimmering, shining, shimmering. Beyond this world.
Welcome to our church. We are glad that you are here.
And we want you to know when you walk through our doors today,
you didn't just walk into a building.
You walked into a family.
And regardless of who you are,
where you come from,
or what you look like, you are welcomed here.
Because at this church, we believe that God is love.
And He is in the business of rekindling lost passions.
Restoring broken dreams.
And filling empty lives.
At this church, we believe life in Christ is not a formula of rules and laws,
but a moment-by-moment relationship with Jesus.
And His love is infinite and everlasting,
without pretense or conditions or discrimination.
At this church, we can't stand religion,
but we love God.
And if you're not quite sure what the difference is yet,
we can't wait to show you.
We're glad you joined us today.
Welcome to our church.
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 Welcome to World Changers Church International.
Well, good evening and welcome to World Changers Church International. Amen. Amen. Well, on behalf of Dr. Dollar and Pastor Taffy, we definitely want to extend a very warm welcome to each of you who are present here during this Memorial Day weekend. You remember to come to church. Amen. And so we just are so thankful that you have graced us with your presence tonight. And if this is your first time visiting with us here at World Changers Church International, I'm going to ask if you would stand and remain standing and be recognized at this time. If you're a first-time visitor with us here at WCCI, please stand. Don't be shy. We're all family here. Amen. Amen. The ushers have a visitor's registration form that they would like to give to you as a gift. And there's a guest registry form on there with a perforated edge. If you tear that out, take it straight outside after service, after the benediction, to our visitor center. There's a blue tent right outside the doors, and they have a gift bag for you, because we want to definitely show our great appreciation for you coming to us. We know that it's not by happenstance or coincidence that you come, but we know that the Holy Spirit has led you for such a time as this. Amen? Amen. You are welcome. You may be seated. Let's welcome them again, congregation. We also want to take the time to welcome our online audience, those who are viewing us via live webcast. We want to welcome them as well. And also all the way in World Changers Church Gold Coast in Australia. Let's welcome them here in College Park. Amen. And then also for those who are viewing online, as we just welcomed you, there is a banner if you're viewing at one of our two websites, CreflodollarMinistries.org or WorldChangers.org. There is a banner that if whenever you're coming, if you think that you're going to be coming to visit our campus here in College Park, we want to know in advance so we can properly host you. So you can click on that banner and fill in your information and let us know what time that you're going to be coming, and we can host you when you come on our campus. Amen? Amen. Well, how many of you know that God is the God of increase? Amen. Has he proven himself to be that in your life? Amen. Well, I want to invite you to come. If you have experienced increase this past week, you can come forward and present your first fruit offering to the deacons who are assembled down front. And we rejoice with you. Amen. It doesn't matter if you come from the back. We'll wait for you. God's grace is not a respecter of age. Even the young people are blessed and increased. Amen? Amen. 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 Well, let's stretch forth our hands towards the basket. Father, we thank you so much that you have proven yourself to be the God of the increase in the lives of our members, Father, in the lives of most of all your dear sons. And we just thank you so much that you continue to bring great harvest and great increase into their life, proving yourself to be indeed the God of the increase and the God who makes all grace abound towards them. In Christ Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Well, at this time, if you would help me welcome the Ministry of Music once again.
So we'll rest in God's embrace.
trust us with our borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. My faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior.
Trust is without borders.
Let me walk,
let me walk upon the waters.
Wherever
you would call
me. Just take us deeper, God.
Take me deeper than my feet could ever walk. And my faith will be made strong
in the presence,
of my Savior.
Spirit, lead me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are yours, Father, and you are ours. Amen. Well, this is our time of communion. If you're in need of communion elements, I'm going to ask if the attendants and the ushers can, if you would raise your hand, they will definitely place that in your hand if you're in need of communion elements at this time. And it's very interesting that this is, have I said before, Memorial Day weekend, because when it comes to communion, let's remember that Jesus said, this do in remembrance of him, right? And so we don't just do this as a result of, you know, just an ordinance or something with, that we go through the motions, but it really means something, especially for us that understand grace. Amen? Let's take the bread. This bread symbolizes the broken body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And because of his breaking, we can receive the wholeness that we couldn't have been able to have in and of ourselves. Amen? And because of this, because of what he did on our behalf, we can receive all of the full-fledged blessings of grace that he has made available as a result of his sacrifice for us. In remembrance of that, you may eat. Now let's take the cup. The cup represents the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The writer of Hebrews says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or taking away of sins. And so when we drink this cup that symbolizes the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we constantly remind ourselves that because of him and because of what he has done for us, all of our sins, past, present, and future are eternally, forever forgiven. Amen? In remembrance of that, let's drink. And so I declare that all is well with you. All is indeed well with you. Amen.
If you have your Bibles, join me in the Thanks. Book of Acts, chapter 10. I'm going to talk to you this morning about...
You cannot live this supernatural life without the Holy Ghost. Not only have we not heard a lot of sermons about the Holy Ghost, but we hear little to none about speaking in tongues. You have been given the authority by the Almighty God to act like little Jesuses on the earth. Now we pray to God based on what He's already done versus praying to God in the old covenant before the cross trying to get Him to do something. Everything you could ever need for this life was provided in Jesus and by Him for you 2,000 years ago. And it was provided to you by grace. It's a finished thing. You have the Holy Ghost by faith. Speaking in tongues is just you yielding your tongue to the Holy Ghost. It's the gift of the Holy Ghost that when you yield to Him, He will now begin to influence every part of your life. When you speak in tongues, you will speak secret truths and hidden things that are not obvious to your understanding or to your mind. And then one day, this thing manifests in your life, and you're trying to figure out, where did that come from? That must have been the day I prayed in the Holy Ghost and released my faith for something I didn't even know about. Because the Holy Ghost is there to prevent and to cause. He is your cause and effect.
Father, we thank You for this another opportunity to minister to these Your precious sheep. Thank You, Lord, that revelation knowledge will flow freely, uninterrupted and unhindered by any satanic or demonic force. And Father, I pray that You will speak through my vocal cords and think through my mind. None of me and all of You, it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of Mark, chapter 2. I'm going to begin a new series tonight. I don't know if I'm finished with the other one yet. I got three series going on, but I got to go with what I'm led with. Amen. This is going to be kind of interesting here. I'm going to call this next series The Relevancy of Grace. The Relevancy of Grace, or if you will, the relevancy of God's grace. What does it mean when something is relevant? It means that it's connected, to be connected with the matter that's at hand. When something is relevant, we're looking at also the significance of God's grace in the life of the believer. In other words, we have to understand how grace is connected to life. How grace is connected to, you know, when sickness hits your body, when strife is in your life, when a divorce is taking place, when somebody has died unexpectedly, when you went to the doctor and they said you had some sickness on your body, in relationships that you have, the hurt and the pain. How relevant is grace, or what is the significance of grace? And how is it connected and applied to our everyday lives? You see, for most Christian people, the very reason why teenagers don't want to have anything to do with God, the very reason people don't come to church anymore and could care less, is because it has not been properly preached and explained how this thing connects with my life, how this thing connects with what I'm going through. And as a result of it, and as a result of religion, we only connect God to life, or excuse me, heaven and hell. In other words, you need God to be your ticket to get into heaven, and without Him, you'll go to hell. So God's not relevant until it's time to die. God's not relevant until it's time you know, you get sick and it looks like you're going to die. And so if God is only relevant when you're dying, because we, you know, what basically happens is, you know, we work hard to get people saved and we get them saved. And then, you know, that's kind of it. Now you're going to go to heaven. But in between you getting saved and going to heaven, there's life. And the religion and the world would have you to think that God's not relevant in those areas. God is very relevant in these areas. God loves you so much. God wants you. When you get sick, God is the one that wants to heal you. When there is lack and financial problems, He wants to be the one to bless you financially. There's healing that is alive. And that's what our church is going to move into. God said to me, it is arrogance if you think that your words alone will be enough to confirm, you know, what you preach. Even Jesus had to have confirmation of what he preached. Jesus preached, and then signs and wonders and miracles followed the preaching of his word. And so in my mind, tonight is a turning point for our entire ministry. It's a turning point for my life. It's a turning point for you. Because it is now very vital for us to show people that God not only delivered you from your sins when he died on that cross, when Jesus died on the cross, you were delivered from sin. And for most of church, you know, we think, well, that's it. Jesus died on the cross and we're delivered from sin. That's not it. He died on the cross so you could be delivered from your sins. He died on the cross so you can be healed in your body. So when you're sick, Jesus died so you can have healing in your physical body. He died on the cross so you can have a mighty counselor to help you through your emotional situations. That when you are hurt and when you are depressed and when you're just freaking out emotionally, Jesus died and shed his blood so you can have help in that area. Jesus died and shed his blood so that you can financially prosper. Yes, that is in the Bible. He died. You know what? You're going to be so prosperous. I'm going to prophesy something over you. You're going to be so prosperous that people who haven't heard your testimony will accuse you of doing something illegal because they can't understand how God did it for you. You know how prosperous that is? Let me tell you something. People, we have an epidemic in the United States. I know of, maybe in the rest of the world, but the epidemic is people don't know the Bible. And they don't. And when you don't know the Bible, you'll comment based on your religious experience, and you don't even know the Bible. Jesus died so we could have prosperity. Jesus died so we can prosper financially. Well, that ain't in the Bible. Psalms 35, 27. God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. In the book of Proverbs, he says, the blessings of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. In the book of Deuteronomy, he says that the Lord gives power for you to get wealth so you can establish his covenant. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he says, Jesus, who was rich, became poor so that through his poverty, you might become rich. In 3 John, he says, I pray above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. People don't know the Bible. And so as a result of it, they don't see any significance. That's a synonym for relevance. They don't see any kind of significance for having a relationship with Jesus. Why? I'm not getting ready to die. Or, you know, the church religion has used the fear tactic to try to keep people in coming to church. If you don't come to church, you're going to go to hell. And then what's happening now is people say, you know what, bring it on, because I'm already in hell. Because I can't pay my bills, I lost my job, I lost my family, so, you know, what else, you know? And so that doesn't work anymore. And if you're a teenager, it's like, you know, you're going to go to hell. Why? And if you can't answer that question why, it's like, well, I don't see any relevance in it, relevance, and I don't see any significance, so I don't want to have anything to do with it. So what? You can't answer my question, I don't have nothing to do with it. And right now, it's almost at a state of emergency right now that we believe God enough that we can become living proof. Say living proof. Say infallible proof of the Word of God. No matter how many sermons I preach, no matter how many series I preach, no matter what I say to you tonight, eventually there's going to have to be a confirmation of what I say. There's going to have to be, and Jesus said that we should go forth, casting out devils, laying hands on the sick, and that Jesus will confirm his word with signs following. Amen? I'm ready. And the reason, I'm telling you, the reason why I am ready is because I recognize that the number one reason for grief and bitterness is self-centeredness. When somebody talks about you and you're going through some things because somebody's dogging you out, the problem is not what they're saying about you. The problem is you're focused on you. You're focused on yourself. If you get yourself out of the way, what people say about you won't bother you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I ought to know. If you don't focus on yourself, what folks say about you won't bother you. The only time it bothers you is when you focus on yourself. Because real Bible humility doesn't involve self-promotion. Real Bible humility doesn't involve you thinking higher of yourself than you ought to think or thinking lower of yourself than you ought to think. Real Bible humility is you working, and it'll take until the day Jesus comes and gets you, but it's the attitude where you're working to get yourself out of focus, so that you can focus more on what God wants you to do and more on how he can use you in somebody else's life. And then when self-centeredness is no longer there, bitterness can't be there. Hurt can't be there. Disappointment about what others are saying and do towards you won't be there because you're out of the way. And now I got a great understanding of what he was trying to say. Paul said that he said, my life is worthless. And what he simply meant was, in order for me to do and to preach this grace, I got to get myself out of the way. Because, listen, when you start doing the things that I'm going to begin to preach in this series, and you start experiencing this, and you start telling people that God loves you, and God has forgiven you, and God doesn't condemn you, and God's not judging you, and God's not going to send you to hell because, you know, you couldn't do this or you couldn't do that. When you start saying stuff like that, I mean, you're taking away all of Satan's tools, because his tools are condemnation and guilt and shame and fear. And when you snatch those tools away, then what is he going to do? And so we're going to get in the Word of God tonight. And my first assignment, I believe, is to show you that God is significant when your body is not well. That healing is the will of God. It blew my mind a couple of weeks ago when we called for people for being sick, and in all of our churches, half of the people came down for prayer. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, Jesus wants you healed. Jesus wants you to experience healing that he has made available 2,000 years ago. And if you come to me and say you're sick, I'm gonna lay hands on you. I'm going to believe God with you, praise God. If we keep sending people to the doctor, keep sending them to the psychiatrist, keep sending them to the government, I mean, they're coming to church to get help. And this ought to be God's supernatural center for manifestations. Amen? Are y'all ready for this? The grace of God, his unmerited favor, his love. God wants you healed. Healing is a reality. Healing can take place in your life. You do not have to wonder if God's going to heal you. He's already decided to heal you. Healing is something that has been done 2,000 years ago. It is a part of the atonement. It is a part of the finished works of Jesus Christ. And he wants you operating in that. Are y'all ready for this? I know, let's go. I want to lay some things here, lay some foundations here, and when I want to look at this. But, you know, when we talk about God having significance, how does he connect with me when the doctor gave me a bad report? How does this grace connect with me when I'm walking around with a diagnosis of cancer? I'm walking around with a diagnosis of high blood pressure. How does this grace, this finished works of Jesus, connect with all of that? Well, healing is a part of the finished works of Jesus Christ. When Jesus shed his blood on that cross, he took your sickness and he took your disease, hallelujah, and he released healing, praise God. If Jesus thought enough of healing to purchase it for you. How many of you know Jesus purchased healing for you? Amen. And with his stripes, you are what? If Jesus thought enough to purchase healing for you, then we ought to think enough to receive it. Think of that now. If he thought enough to purchase it for you, he purchased healing for you, for me, then we should think enough to receive that healing that has already been purchased. Come on, let's walk through it. Say out loud, I receive healing that Jesus purchased for me with his blood. I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, so Jesus took our disease just as much as he took our sins. Jesus took our disease just like he took our sins. I mean, the Bible says in Romans chapter 4 that he will not hold your sins against you. He will not impute, the word is that he uses there, he will not impute your sins against you. Hebrews chapter 8 and then verse 10 says that he will remember your sins no more. Hebrews also talks about the fact that you have eternal redemption. I mean, when Jesus died for you, he forgave you of your past sins, your present sins, and your future sins. Jesus has dealt with your sin. He took your sins away from you, and it was placed on his body. Hallelujah. He bore all of your sins. Praise the Lord. That's why I tell you that you don't go to hell for sinning. You go to hell for rejecting Jesus Christ. Amen. And that doesn't mean you just go off and sin. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that when you receive what Jesus has done for you and you accept that he took your sins and you don't keep living your life acting like he didn't take your sins, then eventually you'll realize who you are and sinning won't be a problem anymore because you've accepted the significance that Jesus has played in your life. He took away my sins. Now, just like, how many believe Jesus took away your sins? You believe that? Amen. But just like he took away your sins, ladies and gentlemen, he took away your sickness. He took away your disease. And it honors him when we promote healing. It honors him when we promote anything he took away, it honors him. He took away your sin. It honors him when we promote that I'm free from sin. He took away your sickness. It honors him when you promote healing. He took away your lack and poverty. It honors him when you promote that God will prosper you financially. Oh, yes, amen. It honors him when you promote that you're delivered because he took away your bondage, praise God. Jesus took it all, amen. Jesus did it all. So Jesus used healing. If you'll study the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus used healing like a dinner bell to draw people. He used healing like a bell to get people's attention and to prove that he did have the power on earth to forgive sins. Now, I'm going to show you something right quick. He took, think about it, man, ringing that bell. And as you ring the bell, it got people's attention. It got people's attention. Now, Jesus did something. I want you to look at Mark chapter 2. Verses 1 through 12. I've read this scripture for years. You know, I didn't pay too much attention to it until this weekend, to be honest with you. When God dropped that in my heart that now it's time. And I want you to look at this very, very carefully and you will just see something. And I'll tell you, when we get in the Word, we're going to get in the Word. Amen. Mark chapter 2, verse 1 says, and again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. So Jesus goes into this house, verse 2. He says, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. Verse 3, he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of palsy, which was so he was sick. So he had some friends and he was the friend that was sick of palsy. Look at the next verse. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, how many of you know we got an issue here? Because here is Jesus saying, your sins are forgiven. Now, watch what happens here. Verse 6. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, reasoning in their hearts. 7. Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? They called what Jesus did. What did he do? He says, your sins be forgiven. They called that blasphemy. Why does this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? All right, next verse. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason you these things in your heart? So Jesus knew what they were thinking. Why are you reasoning it in your heart that what I did was blasphemy? Next verse. Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? Now, we have to answer this question from now on. He's asking a question. Which one is easier? Is it easier for him to say, your sins are forgiven? Or is it easier for him to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? Now, I want you to think before you answer. I'm going to give you like 20 seconds to think. Those of you in the Bronx and Australia this morning, I want to give you some time to think about this before you answer it. All right, which one is the easiest? Your sins are forgiven? Your sins are forgiven? All right, let's keep reading. Verse 10. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on the earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into the house. Verse 12. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. All right. Now, I agree that the easiest is to say your sins be forgiven. Why? If he would have said, rise up and walk, they would have immediately been able to see whether it worked or not. They would have immediately been able to see a verification of rise up and walk. Okay? But because he said, your sins be forgiven, you can't see sin. You can't see a verification if it was actually dealt with. You can't see that. In fact, if somebody were to come and challenge him, you know, you can't do that. All he had to do is say, prove it. Could they prove it? No, because you can't see it. You can't see the sin. You can't see the sin being dealt with. In other words, you can't see the verification of the sin being dealt with. Now, here's another thing. It's like here's Jesus forgiving sin. We know that a man cannot forgive sin. And we know that a man that's in the flesh probably can't heal anybody. But here you have Jesus who was fully God, and Jesus who was fully man. And because he was fully God and fully man, he had the power to do both, to forgive and to heal. Does everybody see what I'm saying? And so what Jesus said, when he said, your sins be forgiven, they just kind of sat there like, you know, why is this guy committing blasphemy? Nobody can forgive sins except for God. Yeah, but he was fully God and fully man. And so all of a sudden he said this. Listen, he said, your sins be forgiven. It's got to be confirmed. They heard what he said. And yet in their minds, they were reasoning blasphemy. I often think what's going on in people's mind when I preach the word and I teach it and I use the illustrations and I use examples. And how many people who just believe it because they have faith, and how many people who just like they're reasoning in their mind that I don't really believe this. And so Jesus told us, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell the guy to take his bed up and rise up and walk so that I can confirm, hallelujah,
that if I can show you that this man can rise up out this bed and walk, then you'll know I can also forgive a sin. Are you seeing what I'm saying? And so he told him that. Go back to verse 11. He says, now I'm telling you guys something that you can't see, but I need to give you proof that my words can take care of unseen things as well. And therefore, I'm going to need some confirmation. Now, here's what it dawned on me. Here's what dawned on preacher here. Here's what dawned on me. If Jesus said he needed confirmation for his words, how in the world do we preachers think we don't need confirmation of our words? It's plain arrogance for you to think that your words alone are going to get the job done. I had to repent. I had to say, oh, God, help me. He said, I say unto thee, rise up. Go to verse 10. Go back up one more. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on the earth to forgive sins. So he's telling you why he's getting ready to do this. He's getting ready to do this. Why? So that you can know that he has power on the earth to forgive sins. I need you to, I'm gonna show you, I'll give you a confirmation that what I said took place, because you couldn't see it then dealt with, so that you might know it. He said, he saith to the sick of the palsy, verse 11, and I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, go thy way into thy house. And look at verse 12. He says, and immediately he arose, took up the bed, went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed. Look at what happened now. He says they were all amazed, and look what they said. And they glorified God, and they said, we never saw it on this fashion. The reasoning stopped. Why? Because when he preached the word, his words needed to be confirmed so that you'll know that this word has power to impact unseen things. And that's what we are today. There needs to be confirmation of what he said. I am telling you that by the blood of Jesus, you are healed already. And I can say that until I turn into a white man. Until I can say it until my hair straightened out, I turn into a white man and glasses pop, and I get blue eyes. But without a confirmation, it'll never be settled. And so where we are in this church right now is that every time I preach, I'm going to ask God to confirm the word with signs following. That if I preach on something financial, let you go home and come back with a testimony. And I need to hear the testimony because it's confirmation of what I said. If I preach on healing, somebody's going to get healed because it's a confirmation of what I said. Hallelujah. If I preach on emotional healing and that God can heal you emotionally and pray for you, you come back next week and say, I'm delivered from depression. It's confirmation of what he said. And the word of God grew. See, I can go through the Greek and Hebrew and give wonderful illustrations and analogies and parables. But there comes the time where if Jesus said, I had to ring the bell to get the attention, it's time to ring the bell. It's time to ring the bell. Look at this nation. Look at what's going on. They are mocking what the blood of Jesus has done. They are mocking healing. They are mocking. The only other thing that the enemy attacks more than financial prosperity is healing. They mock that fact that Jesus has, through his blood, healed you already. They mock the fact that Jesus, through his blood, has forgiven you of all of your sins. They mock the fact that Jesus, through his blood, can deliver you from bondage and all kinds of addictive behavior. They tell you you need to go to some center or something, and Jesus can set you free. In one day of an alcohol addiction you've had for 17 years, he's already made that happen. They mock it when you say that God has, through his blood, blessed you so you can be blessed financially. They mock that. So it's time to ring the bell. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. It's time to ring the bell. And I don't know how God's going to confirm every word that I preach, but I am going
to be thanking him for confirmation of every word that I preach. And as you are walking in that confirmation, it is what draws you back to the word, and you tell somebody, it's going to draw them to the word, and the word being confirmed with signs and wonders and miracles. Somebody said, I don't believe in miracles. Well, Jesus said that miracles were necessary in order to ring the bell. Amen. Now, look at John 5:36. So verification is the order of the day. St. John 5:36. Are words only good enough? You know, for so long we've been pretty proud. We have a word church. And we're coming to get the word. And that's vital, because in every situation before the sign, they were preaching a word. Before you see a confirmation, they were preaching the word. So that's powerful, preaching the word. But look what he says in John 5:36. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. The works that he does, he says, it gives witness and proof that God has actually sent him. And somebody says, well, is it anything wrong believing for proof and evidence that God is in a thing? Oh, I don't think so at all. I think that, I don't know, maybe God was just saving it for the right time, but it's always been available. It's not like he cut it off that it's not been available. It's just we didn't pursue it. We didn't go for it, you see. And I'm not saying we have lots of signs and wonders and confirmation of the word. Don't think we're talking about having a church show. God cautioned me about that. He said, this is not about having a church show. It is going to be God, the Holy Ghost, that's going to bring the confirming signs. He said, this is what happened. When men tried to produce signs and wonders, you follow what I'm saying? Then that's when it got all messed up. And then it just became a show that you put on TV, a show that people came to see. But I'm talking about when you come here to get this word, hallelujah, praise God, Taffy and I fully expect that there'll be signs and wonders and miracles to confirm the word that you heard. Amen. But it also means that we're going to spend more time praying for the sick. It also means that we're going to spend more time casting out devils. It also means that there are going to be things going on in our service that we haven't done before. And it's also meaning that I'm not going to be rushing to hurt and get you out. I'll get you on out. But those who want the complete gospel will stay here. There's going to be after parties in our ministry. Starting with the one tonight. Amen. Are y'all listening to what I'm saying? Jesus also said that the miracles he did authenticated who he was and confirmed what he said. It authenticated who he was and confirmed what he said. See, we have to do that now because, I mean, listen, you can have a guy who's not even called, and all he's got to do is get a tape of somebody and just memorize a sermon, and it makes it seem like he's got the real deal. There needs to be some authentication of who is of God and who is not of God. And not based on what sermon was the best. No, God's going to authenticate. He's going to separate. This is the time. There's going to separation of sheep and the goat. Okay? The Bible talks about how the tares were allowed to come up with the wheat. But when harvest time comes, there was a separation of the wheat from the tares. Well, how should it be? Look at Matthew chapter 16 and verse 17 through 20. Matthew 16:17-20. Some say we don't need miracles today. We have the word of God. Yet that's not what the Bible teaches. We don't need miracles today. We have the word of God. Man, Jesus was the word of God, preaching the word of God. And he said, I need to confirm this word. All right, well, look what he says. I beg to differ. We need miracles today. If we've ever needed miracles, we need miracles today. You got to understand, when Jesus is coming back, the church is not going to be losing. We're going to be winning.
fact, I say we're winning now. I'm not moved by what I see. We're winning right now. If it's in it, that's one of the ways to authenticate whether somebody of God or not is, you know, if every time they do something, if the devil start talking, boy, that, he must be trying to stop something. Watch this. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonah, Bar-Jonah, for flesh and... I want to read that far. Mark, not Matthew. Let's go to Mark. I apologize. I don't want to read that one. Mark chapter 16, verse 17 through 20. That's a good one now, but not yet. Mark 16, 17 through 20. And I notice this word right here. And these signs shall follow them that what? How many believers do I have in the house? Okay, so say this out loud. I am a believer.
I am a believer.
Signs follow me.
Signs follow me.
Say it again. I am a believer.
I am a believer.
Signs follow me.
Signs follow me.
So when the word is preached, there's a confirmation or confirming of that word with signs following the believer. He says, in my name shall they cast out devils. Somebody say, that's talking about me. No, you're not going to look at me talking about, oh, Pastor, he's talking about you. No, he's talking about believers. I'm a believer and you're a believer, okay? And that means you may come in here one time and you may have something sitting right next to you and you might need to go on, you know, two or three brothers and sisters and go on and deal with that thing. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Look at that. Look at that. Just check off what you're doing right now and what you hadn't done. Look at the next verse. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. They shall lay hands on the sick. They shall lay hands on the sick. I don't believe it's always the preacher. I mean, you know, it's you and the preacher laying hands. I'll lay hands on what God tells me to lay hands on, but believers got to learn how to lay hands on the sick. You understand what I'm saying? It can't be everybody flocking in the dome to see a Creflo Tapadala show. It's believers laying hands on the sick. And the promise is they shall recover. So next time you go to the hospital, say, I want to minister healing to you. Jesus said, heal the sick. Hallelujah. Preach the word to them a little bit and then confirm it with a sign. Preach the word a little bit, confirm it with a sign. Take about 6-7 healing scriptures in there. Tell them that Jesus has already healed them and say, all right, let's go ahead and get it done and confirm it with a sign. Hallelujah. That's what I believe. It ought to be the body of Christ walking in this authority. You understand what I'm saying? See, religion wants to make it just a show. No, it's the body of Christ walking in authority, praise God. And we're laying hands on one another and recovering. And recovering, praise God. Look at verse 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and he sat on the right hand of God, verse 20. And they went forth and they did what? Preached everywhere. The Lord was working what? Say out loud. Lord, work with me.
Lord, work with me.
The Lord working with them and what? Confirming what? The word with what? Signs following. Amen. So we read signs are supposed to follow the preaching of the word. Signs are to follow the preaching of the word. The Lord wants to work with you. We got to let him work with us. The Lord wants to work with you. He wants to confirm the word that's being preached with signs following. I mean, many of you can lay hands on the dead and they'll be raised. But in a time when somebody dies, we don't see relevance there. We don't see significance there. And there may be situations that you lay hands on people you know and you say, no, this is not right. This is not time yet. You get up right now in the name of Jesus. Andrew was telling a story about his son was dead for 5 hours, had already begun to turn black. And I'm going to tell you, in the name of Jesus, he raised his son up from the dead. Signs are supposed to be following. Believers need to believe for it. Not just sit back and talk about what they happened in the good old Bible days. These the good old Bible days. Amen. Somebody shout, Lord, work with me. So now listen to this. If we preach and teach the whole counsel of God, he will confirm it with signs and wonders and miracles. The whole counsel of God is we teach that Jesus has already healed us, that Jesus has already delivered us, that Jesus wants us to prosper financially, that Jesus wants us to be free in our emotions, that Jesus wants our relationships to be healthy, that Jesus wants us not to walk in lack, that Jesus wants us to experience promotion, that Jesus and his love wants us to walk in peace. You begin to see relevance with Jesus in every area of your life, and you find significance in every area of their life. And so you're not just coming to church hearing about you need Jesus in order to get to heaven, and if you don't get him, you're going to get to hell. Because if that's the only thing you're going to hear, then listen, you don't need God until it's time to die. We need to hear the whole counsel that you don't have to be condemned, or you have to be guilty. You don't have to be ashamed. Don't you know the devil attacks when you start preaching this kind of stuff? You take away his tools. He don't know what else to do because he uses condemnation to keep you, uses fear to keep you. Use it shame. You remember when you came to church and you got shamed from the pulpit? You ought to be ashamed of yourself being a Christian, talking in tongues, and going out there and doing this and that. And you're like, yeah, you're right, preacher. I am ashamed. Or you would act more religious or louder. Hallelujah. Say it now. Jesus. No, God's not punishing you. God's not behind all of the catastrophes that's going on in the world. God didn't start the tornado last week. God didn't tear your car up. God didn't kill your relative. God's not using sickness to teach you something. No, God's not using sickness to teach you something. God's not using sickness so you can be a better Christian. He's a father. He does not abuse his children. Jesus wants you healed. Amen. Now look at this. Go to Hebrews chapter 2, 3 through 4, and I'm going to be close. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. Hebrews 2, 3 through 4. How shall we escape? Boy, I saw this in a different light. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now, you know that I'm going to do a sermon on sozo. I'm going to show you all in the New Testament where sozo is translated deliverance, and sozo is translated healing, and sozo is translated provision. Sozo is translated soundness, and sozo is translated wholeness. It's the Greek word for the word saved or salvation. He says, if we neglect salvation, soteria, sozo, how shall we escape if we neglect the healing that's been made available? How shall we escape sickness if we neglect the healing? How shall we escape poverty if we neglect the blessings of prosperity? How shall we escape the bondage if we neglect the deliverance that has already been given to us? How shall we escape? Which at first began to be spoken by the Lord. He says, so it was first spoken by the Lord. And then he says, and it was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Verse 4. God also bearing them witness, both with what? Signs and what? Wonders and different kind of miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to, watch this, this is the key, according to his will. We're not going to get up here and try to make something happen. It's going to be according to his will. He's going to turn on whatever he wants to turn on, whatever gift he wants to turn on. See, we don't turn the gift on. He turns it on. Hallelujah. Praise God. We just trust him. I just trust God. I said, God, thank you for signs and wonders and miracles. Thank you for a confirmation of the word tonight. I believe I received that. I thank you they're going to have a confirmation of this word. My prayer was, Lord, even while they sit and hear the word, begin to immediately confirm it. Begin to change situations around. If it's dealing with their body, begin to let them start feeling a results that's going on in their body while I'm preaching. I said, God, I just thank you for that. See, what happens is I can't neglect that. It can't be neglected. The Bible says in Philemon, how we should acknowledge the good that is already in you. And then your faith will begin to work. But what happens when you just turn it off? You don't acknowledge what the blood has done for you. You don't acknowledge this. He said you can't escape if you neglect so great salvation. Amen. Does everybody see that? So this is the confirmed the word Jesus preached with miracles and signs and wonders that followed those miracles. So if both Jesus and the early believers needed miracles, if they needed signs, if they needed wonders to confirm the message from God that they preach, then so do we. And they were right there with Jesus. Some of them saw him. So do we. If the body of Christ was fully presenting the gospel, we'd be making a much greater impact on the world today. God not only wants to forgive us of our sins, he also loves us and dearly desires to heal our bodies. He wants to bless us financially. He wants to deliver us from all discouragement and depression. And this is one of the reasons, the main reasons, why the modern day church has been rendered so ineffective and irrelevant in many people's eyes, is they only preach the God of the hereafter. And when you only preach the God of the hereafter, people are just not interested, because it's like, well, I'm not dying yet, so I guess I don't need him. But when we start telling them that he's impacting and can impact us in all of these different arenas, you know, there's a different type of teenager that's growing up today than it was 20, 30 years ago. They want to know why. Well, you can't go to the party tonight. Why? And then you tell them, well, why? And then you go, why? And then eventually you have to say, because I said something. And I love you, and you need leadership. Okay? All right. Thank you, Lord. If you have been diagnosed with cancer, would you please come to me right now? You're already the healed. If you're in our other churches, if our pastors would come down front, and whether it's here or whether it's there, I want to give you instructions right now. If you've been diagnosed with cancer of any kind, would you come up front? Pastors, go ahead and get ready. And listen, Jesus is not a respecter of persons. Okay? He's not a respecter of persons. There are going to be times where we're going to be turning around praying for one another. Okay? Now, pastors, when you pray, you're not praying to work up anything, and you're not praying because it's you, and you're not nervous because it's you, because it's Jesus that's going to give you the sign and the wonder and the miracle. You're praying in the name of Jesus because you're believing God for a confirmation of the word. I preach that God wants you healed, and that Jesus has already healed you 2,000 years ago. And that healing has already been made available 2,000 years ago. And so I believe that. And it is done. But so these may know that Jesus did it 2,000 years ago, then I speak to these bodies right now. And I command that spirit behind cancer to loose them and let them go. And in Jesus' name, by his stripes, they were already healed. That you may know that the blood of Jesus has had impact on this earth. That you may know that by his power that it is already done. In Jesus' name, be healed now.
Thank you, Jesus.
That you may know that by the power of the Holy Spirit that's present, that you may know that his word is real. And what's coming through me is real. In Jesus' name, woman,
be well right now in the name. Oh, there it is. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I don't care what stage. I'm going to tell you the stage you're in. You're in the stage called healing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now bring us a testimony back in Jesus' name that you may know. Now, I want to do something else. If there's any sickness on anybody's body, would you please stand? And all of our churches, if there's anybody in there that's got any sickness on their body, I just want you to stand where you are. Now, here we're going to do something a little different here now. I want you to stand. In Australia, in the Bronx, I want you to stand. Now, I want believers who are seated near these people. You can go to them twos or threes, all right? I want you to go and pray for them right now and get them well. Heal them. Go, go. Everybody turn around. You see somebody standing up. See somebody standing up. Now look before you stand up so you won't know, so you'll know who need prayer. Go. You ain't got to holler, scream. Don't be pushing nobody. Just pray. Pray. Get them healed. Heal the sick. Heal the sick. The believers, heal the sick. That they may know that Jesus is real, and that they may know the signs and the miracles and the wonders that come as an instruction that he has given, that we pray for the sick and they get well. He said we lay hands on the sick and they get well. In Jesus' name, Father, I thank you that believers are laying hands on the sick, and I thank you for a sign and a miracle and a wonder. Hallelujah, that they are well right now in Jesus' name. They are healed right now in Jesus' name. It don't take us no long time. You believe it, right? Amen. You believe it, right? Amen. We believe it. We believe it. There's no struggle in it. We believe it. That's what he said. And in Jesus' name, that's what it is. Amen. That's what this ministry is going to begin to operate in. We're going to believe God for the signs and the wonders. And we thank God that signs and miracles and wonders follow the preaching of his word. It is by his stripes you are healed. My God is relevant tonight. He is significant tonight. Because whatever was wrong with you 2,000 years ago, he healed you. And tonight you receive right now in Jesus' name. Somebody rejoice in the Lord and be glad. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now, I don't know how each service is going to go when we're doing stuff like this. All I know is I'm going to take a little piece of the word. Feed it to you. Wasn't that good? It didn't take all long, did it? Just a little piece of the word, feed it to you. And then the Apostle Paul talks about the full gospel. The gospel's not full just by saying the words. It's only full when you give the Holy Spirit, you see what we talked about? Give him the opportunity now to bring signs and wonders. The word needs to be confirmed. The word needs to be confirmed. And as we begin to make this a habit, that I might preach on something that we may necessarily can't do here, except to believe it, but you go home. And that's why your testimonies are very important. You take your testimonies, turn those testimonies. I think I'm going to change it a little bit. You see these buckets over here on the side here? Those big round, that little, what is that? Some people, vase, vase, urn, what? Urn. Ernestine. Just get in the habit of bringing your testimonies when a word was confirmed and putting it in that bucket. And I'm going to have the guys to get it before each service. And let's see what we can read about the confirmations of the word. And then faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. The dome needs to look like it's on fire. To the point where somebody called 911, that church looked like it's on fire. And they come in here and say, oh, that's the fire of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Confirming words. And then we do the same thing when we go in the street. We do the same thing on the mission fields. We do the same thing when we go in jails, when we go in the hospital.
Ain't no need of a believer showing up and can't confirm nothing. Oh, I feel my hands going, man. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Are you listening to what I'm saying? God will confirm the word of healing, the word of deliverance. He'll confirm the word of financial prosperity with signs and wonders following. Amen. Father, we receive this tonight. We thank you for it right now. We'll never be the same again. And Lord, we're ready. We're ready. We give you praise for this right now. In Jesus' mighty name, speak to our hearts on what you want us to give financially. And we're going to sow this seed. And your word says that when we give, it'll be given back to us, Lord. Confirm this word right now, Jesus. And we thank you for it right now. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need an offering envelope, raise your hands. And I just, you know, if you neglect it, it won't happen. You can't escape. So what we're saying is we're not going to neglect signs and wonders. We're just not going to do that. We're not going to say, it just dawned on me, how arrogant can you be? Jesus needed a confirmation of his word. And then you think your words alone? No, 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 no. Hallelujah. And if you think I'm doing this, you think Taff and I'm going to be praying for 2,500 people every Sunday? No, you just as anointed. We'll pray where God tells us to, but man, I tell you what, we got plenty of believers in the house. Amen. And anytime you want to exercise what the Bible told you to do, just hang around for the after party. And it'll always deal with ministering to people with signs and wonders following. Amen. So when people come in here and we pray for them, we believe for a sign and a wonder. They come in here, they need a job, you pray for them, they're going to get one because they got in contact with somebody that believed God. It's not, oh, I hope and I pray. It's not just doing this religious action. We really believe something good will be confirmed in their lives. And I say that right now, something good is confirmed in your life. God's going to confirm his goodness in your life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise God. Are you excited tonight? I am. I'm stirred up. Praise God. I'm stirred up. Praise the Lord. Amen. We might want to take some time after church and just hit the street for about 15 minutes. Won't take long. Just go down there, put a few on one side of Old National, a few on the other side, and let's just go and just heal the street. Yeah, look at y'all. Y'all done got nervous on me already. Look at that. No, man. No, it is take over time. We've had enough word. Now we need some confirmation of that word. Praise the Lord. Hold your gifts up before the Lord. Father, we thank you. We are with great joy sowing this seed because we believe you. We believe your blood and Jesus is significant in our lives. And as we sow this seed today, we thank you for the harvest and the sign and the confirmation of seed sowing. We give you praise for it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's just go ahead and receive the offering tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. I want to pray for, it was just put in my heart for anybody, and again, all the churches. You've been going through chronic depression. Chronic depression, that's an emotional thing, but God has great significance in that area as well. And I just felt led by the Holy Spirit to just request that if they're coming up in other churches, anybody that's dealing with chronic depression, gentlemen, you lay hands on them and you thank God for their healing right now. Jesus is very significant in that area to heal them where that is concerned. You never know what people are going through, but Jesus can heal people of that right now. He can heal people. In fact, the blood has already been shed, and Jesus has already provided healing for your emotions. And whatever it is, dear sister, that you've gone through, let the peace of God that passes all understanding come over you right now. And I thank God in Jesus' name that there will be a joy that will fill your heart and that depression will not torment you, not another day from this day forward. Thank you, Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. This depression,
go right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Give you praise for that right now.
Thank you, Jesus.
I call you healed of that in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
And so, Father, I thank you that the blood of Jesus has already dealt with this right now. This is a finished work. And I thank you, Lord, that they don't have to turn to the therapist or psychologist. If they do, they're anointed. But, Lord, you're here. So you go ahead and take it right now, Lord. I command that chronic depression to go from you. And in Jesus' name, be healed in your emotions right now. In the name of Jesus, you're healed right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you right now. I speak to this spirit that's behind this depression. And I command you to go. You get your hands off this man of God. And by his stripes, you are healed right now in Jesus' name. This chronic depression is gone. In Jesus' name, I command the spirit to go. And you're healed in Jesus' name. Be filled with the joy of the Lord. Satan, I serve notice on you. You will take your hands off this little boy. He doesn't belong to you. He belongs to Jesus. Jesus died and he shed his blood so this little man can have the joy of the Lord. Now, Satan, you get out now. Don't torment him another minute, not another second. Jesus has already healed him. And when I lay my hands on him, no more depression, no more torment. For with Jesus' stripes, he is healed now. That's it. Ah, yeah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Every chemical imbalance, every issue that is natural and in the physical body, everything is lining up with total, complete healing in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Lord, I give you praise for that. I give you praise for that, Jesus. Satan, you take your hands off this man's emotions. I plead the blood of Jesus over him. The blood that has already delivered him. The blood that's already bought his freedom. And with your stripes, Jesus, he's healed. In Jesus' name, every area, I speak peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. Gandera manduru blesnapa. Yeah, yeah. Somebody says, well, what are you doing? Well, I was led to speak some hidden truths and some secret things that may not be, come clearly in my mind out of stuff I don't know about these people I'm praying for. But the Holy Ghost knows everything. So instead of praying in English about what I don't know, I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. And I'm saying, he digs deep in it. Be healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I heard that. Yeah, I know. Some of you say, well, you know, people need to hear words and stuff like that. I know that. I know that if they keep coming and hearing the word of God, they'll be fine. But right now, I'm praying for your deliverance that Jesus has already given you. And with his stripes, you're healed. You're healed right now. You're healed right now. You're healed right now. Mediandori, kuklas le kremande de blando, vale bresse grande, regrego de branga de bocoro blashata. Ah, now, Jesus. Oh, with your stripes. She was healed. She was healed 2,000 years ago. Peace. Thank you, Jesus. Rombrosta brande de crusta, ale resotori atande de cresce de banto de ba. Your past will not govern your future. Your past will not dictate your present. Your past is gone. It is dead, and it'll have nothing more to do with your life. Now, in the name of Jesus, the spirit behind regret, all the spirit behind depression, everything that tries to torment you on a daily basis, I announce today that it expires in your life, and with the stripes that Jesus bore, so you can be healed in your emotions, woman of God, be healed right now in Jesus' name. Be free by the blood that was shed for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Oh, we give God praise, don't we? We give God praise, don't we? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus has healed you everywhere you hurt. All we have to do is not neglect what was already done. All is well. All is well. All is well. I'm lost. I don't know what to do now. I'm finished. I'm just trying to figure out how to close. Oh, if you want to be, what is it, saved? If you're not saved tonight, come on and get saved. If you want to receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost, now that really helps out, especially in the areas of emotions. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, and every time those thoughts come in, you just pray in tongues. And the tongues is a grace gift, and it just casts it down, you know? So if you don't have that, come on up. We'll show you how to get that and walk in that manifestation. And if God's calling you to join this church, then you get where you need to be. Get to the place where you can hear the word and stay sound and stay whole. Amen. Praise God. If you'll stand at this time, if you want to come on down, we'll be happy to receive you and show you what you need to do. Father, we thank you that great grace is upon their lives. We shout grace, grace against anything that stands up against them. We thank you that they're healed, they're whole, they're prosperous, they're delivered in every area of their life. Their relationships are whole. We just give you praise that God is significant in every area of their life, and we thank you for that now. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. At this time, those of you who came up in all of our churches, just follow those individuals to the prayer room. They're going to take you and minister to you and give you biblical understanding of how to obtain and how to maintain what you came to receive. And we thank God you're never going to be the same again. Amen.
All right. Arrow Records is hosting two events this week, and we would love for you to join us. Up first is the 2015 Extreme Performing Arts Camp that starts Tuesday, May 26th for children 8 through 18. Registration is now open. If you'd like to also sponsor a child, stop by the Extreme table. On Friday, May 29th, join Arrow Records for the Night of Music, Food, Friends, and Fun at the Jazz Dinner Lounge, where Jeff Sparks will premiere new music from his new CD, the live EP. For this and more information on Arrow Records, please stop by the table in the Dome lobby. Would you like to start, increase, or maintain your business? The Personal Finance Support Ministry will host a financial business seminar on June 13th from 9 to 1 o'clock p.m. in the chapel. Come listen to dynamic speakers outline the basics of how to start and grow your grace-based business. World Changers Church International here in College Park has been blessed with an awesome opportunity to provide food to members in our community. Do you want to be a part of the blessing? You can be a part of the blessing by coming out and being a volunteer. On Saturday, June 13th, we will be distributing up to 3 tractor-trailer loads of food to members in the community. And we need your help. To sign up, email volunteer at worldchangers.org, or you can call the church. And then finally, Taffy and I are going to be in Washington May 29th and Detroit June 5th to visit our church there. And we're excited about people coming. Tickets are available online, and we look forward to seeing you there. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the Almighty God, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Be blessed in every way and each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.